Welcome to the Turkey Hunter Podcast, the original all turkey, all the time podcast with your co-hosts Andy Galliano and Cameron Weddington.
In our weekly podcast, we're going to bring you some wild turkey calling tips like this.
From there, we're going to go into she's aggravated. There's another hen that's challenged her, or she's challenging another hen. She's going to cut an excited yelp.
Advice from old pro turkey hunters like this.
The turkeys typically don't like, I think, more times than not, to travel in an easterly direction into the sun first thing in the morning, especially after he gets up. It's a blinding thing. It's just like you. It's hard for you to see into the sun. Mm-hmm. So if I have a choice, I'm going to try to make it so that I'm going to be on the west side in the morning, east side in the afternoon of a turkey.
Exciting live hunts like this.
Holy crap, they're coming.
Then we're going to teach you how to cook your bird with advice such as this.
With some fresh rosemary and garlic, and then cool that off and spread that along the inside of that butterflied turkey breast that we've seasoned on both sides.
Wildlife management tips for your property, especially with turkeys like this.
If you look at the type of habitats that turkeys need for nesting and brooding, that tends to be habitat that can be managed more successfully with growing season fire than with dormant season fire.
And hopefully along the way, we'll get plenty of these.
Well, on November the 28th of 1953, I was hatched. When I popped out of my mom and the baby doctor spanked me on the bottom, I went, oh, and I've been doing it ever since.
I like that.
Thank you for tuning in, and now for this week's show. Hello, and welcome back to this week's episode of the Turkey Hunter Podcast. You are listening to episode number 476, Get Off of My Lawn with Kenny Mount, Part 2. And I am your co-host and the guy who is counting down hours until he is toting a shotgun through the woods, turkey call in mouth, vest on back.
Heck yeah. And I'm your co-host who's doing the same. Can't wait to get sopping wet on Friday and, you know, hopefully miss a couple turkeys.
Sounds like a good time.
Sounds like my average day.
Just a regular old spring day for you, isn't it?
Spring has begun. Got you know, a couple boxes of shells in each pocket, and then I'm ready to roll.
Yeah. $80 a shot and three to five shots fired per day.
Yeah. I'm going to start just carrying equipment to make shotgun shells with me in the woods. So, you know, that way I can just keep making them, keep missing and keep making.
Yeah.
I think that'd be the way to do it. But, man, yeah, we're both cranking up this weekend, right?
Yeah. You're getting started a little earlier than I am, but I'll be out there Sunday, depending on weather, and plan on doing a little hunting for the rest of, well, all of next week.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah. I start Friday and have no reason to stop for a long time after Friday. So I'm hoping to, last year I think I only hunted 40 something days. Grateful for it, but I'm hoping this year I can do a little better. Maybe hit 60, 70 plus would be amazing, but probably more like 60 plus would be a really solid year for me. And that, to me, that's the measure of success. I don't care how many I kill or whatever. Getting days going means I had a really good year.
Yeah.
And usually that translates to more kills just by being in the woods.
Well, that is true. That is true. That's usually a good indicator, because if your number of days in the woods equals zero, I'm going to guess that your turkeys killed are probably going to be fairly close to that number now.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, I probably kill a turkey every 1% of the time out, miss one, you know, 50% of the time out. So I just have to hunt 100 days and I can kill one. You know, that's basically a law of averages.
Yeah.
I'll miss 50 and kill one.
Yeah. Sounds about right.
Yeah. But man, I'm fired up. I can't wait. We've got Kenny Mount Part 2, Get Off My Lawn, which is a glorious name for this, especially Part 2.
It really is.
You're, three grumpy guys sitting around complaining about the youth of today, essentially. But man, it's pretty funny. And it's a great show, as always. We know a lot of you guys love when we have Kenny on. And I got to tell you, we're having back-to-back characters, in my opinion, because next week's show is, in fact, another character like no other.
Yeah.
And I cannot wait for that one to launch, too. It's a hilarious one. But keep in mind on this recording and last week's part one, we recorded this back in June with Kenny. So if y'all remember, we kind of took some weeks off in the summer and banked podcast episodes. So if anything sounds a little outdated, it's because we were recording in June. But I don't think anything was real timely, but it was recorded then, launching it now, and it's a great show. But before we get in there, we want to remind you guys in the show notes, you can join our Patreon. So go in there. We just had our first live Zoom meeting on Patreon, which was a blast last night.
It was.
And man, we talked some turkey. I picked up some tips from some of our listeners that were in there with us, and you know, I think there was some turkey talk shared that we don't share on the podcast. I'll say that much. And it was good stuff. We had a great time meeting those guys and getting to do the live Zoom talk. I went to bed kind of late after that, but it was a fun time. So that's part of the Patreon membership. You get to do those quarterly with us. You'll notice in upcoming episodes, we ask questions of our guests that are from our Patreon members. That's because if you become a Patreon member, we post who we're interviewing ahead of time and we'll allow you the chance to ask them questions. So for instance, Mark Prudhomme's coming up and we put in Patreon, said, does anybody have questions for Mark? And there were several and we read them off to Mark and he answered them in the show that you'll hear in a few weeks.
Yeah.
You know, and then we have a chat room in there. We got bonus content. There's, you know, another 12 minutes or something with Kenny Mount in there now that you can only go hear through Patreon. It's definitely a good laugh as always, but make sure you check that out. Go check out our Patreon. It's in the show notes. And then also, if you didn't hear last week on part one, we're selling turkey calls. Check that out in our Shopify store. We're selling diaphragm turkey calls. Already had one listener reach out on social media and said, this thing spits turkey. He's like, I had to wipe the feathers off my diaphragm call before I could use it. And he was very impressed with it. So I think you guys are going to like what you hear when you put that thing in your mouth. It's a heck of a call.
Yeah. Was that Randy Atkinson?
Yeah, Randy. Yeah. He said, I received the Batwing in the mail this morning, and that thing is fire! Exclamation point. Had turkey feathers flying out of my mouth as soon as I hit it. Y'all did a great job. So yeah. Thanks, Randy, for that, for letting us know. And, you know, guys, I'd go check those out. We got a Batwing, Ghost, and a Combo Cut available. And then we have a lot of merch and stuff available in the Shopify store as well. So go check that out. Get you a turkey call. Get you some t-shirts or a hat or whatever. And that's about all the pitching I plan to do on the intro. You got anything you want to add?
No, I just want to probably pile on the Patreon Zoom hangout that we did last night. That it was scheduled for an hour. We were about an hour and 50 minutes. And it was really good getting to hang out with some like-minded turkey hunters and just shoot the breeze for that long a period of time. And, you know, I'm like you. I picked up a good tip or two to use. So it was well worth the time and very enjoyable and feeds that urge, man. You know, you just kind of get that point to where you're like, I got to have it. I got to have it now. But talking about it helps to satisfy that craving a little bit. So
yeah, that was no cool. Doubt. That was really cool. So we'll look forward to, I guess our next one will be right after turkey season. That'll be cool too. A lot of stories will probably be shared on that one, I hope.
Oh man, I'm going to have to wear my waders for that one. I am sure of it.
Okay.
That was going to be full of BS.
Wading around it.
Waiters, and I'll plug my nose up with some wax or Vaseline or something in my nose so I can't smell any of the stew that we're walking through.
There you go. Well, let's hop in here. Let's do part two of Kenny Mount. Hope you guys enjoy it, and we'll see you guys on the other side.
I tell you one thing I will say I've noticed with the newer hunters that I do run into, and I'm not saying I'm some grizzled old veteran or something, but
how old are you, by the way?
I'm only 28.
Yeah, I figured you were young. Yeah, I mean, that's you. Yeah, you've, and maybe I'll get a chance to talk to you another 10 years or so, because you will. It is amazing, like, to be as young as you are and have hunted as many places as you have. Of course, a lot of people your age do that now and younger.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I'm an old man in this game now.
Mm-hmm. Man, I was turkey hunting somewhere this spring, and a buddy of mine texted me that some kid had killed a U.S. slam this year, and he was in his early 20s. I don't remember how.
Yeah.
I mean, like, way young, like below 25, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it'll be a teenager soon who kills the youngest one, I'm sure, that'll be in the, you know, 18 or 19, something like that, but. But
I
yeah,
got to thinking that. Where do you go from there if you kill it at 25? Like, it's gravy, I guess, huh?
I guess try to do it five or six more times. I don't know. I don't know what the
that's going to be the next one. Whoever does the most of them, is that the next one?
Yeah, probably. Honestly, it'll be like the Grand Slam and be Super Slams.
Next year, I'm doing a single season Super Slam.
Yes.
There's, from what I hear, there's some people that are getting down there close to doing half of one in a year.
That's crazy.
And I'm like, I'm just like, man, who in the hell's, do they have sponsorships? Who pays this stuff?
Yeah, I don't know. I've heard of several people, actually, that I know did 20-plus states in a year.
This same friend of mine, he's heavily involved with, you know, all the turkey hunting stuff and on the web, and he'll screenshot stuff and send it to me, like, you know, every so often. He sent me one this year. I forgot what it was. And I know none of these people, but most of these people look very young, younger than 28. And they've all got tricked out vans. They've all got the top of the line, like Mercedes Sprinters, Dodge Sprinters and all that. And their caption, like, you know, we tried to do, you know, 15 states this spring. We ended up doing 20 and all this. And I'm sitting here thinking, man, at that age, most people have just gotten out of college, started a career or whatever. And I'm like, how did I do this wrong? Like, I did not have enough money when I was in my early 20s to take 3 months off work, go buy an $80,000 van. Even if you get one of those used, tricked out, they're stupid expensive. And have this, I guess I'm jealous, is where I'm going with it, because I wish I could have done that or do that now.
Yeah.
And I've killed a U.S. slam, but I never got the luxury to go do 20 states in a spring. I guess I just wish I, you know, had what the next kid had. It's always, the grass is always greener on the other side.
Grass is always greener. Kenny, let me ask you a question. So speaking of the age of people pursuing a slam, grand slam, U.S. Super Slam, whatever it happens to be. And I know you run into them because we run into them everywhere we go as well. And they are young. And it's not just because you and I are getting older. I mean, that is part of the reason. But they're young, like you said, to be attempting to do this and covering a lot of states. You know, I didn't start it until I was in my early 30s. But on that line, thinking about those hunters that you've run into hunting public ground in this state, that state, wherever it happens to be, do you feel like, and I'm asking just your opinion, we're not going to go out and test on anybody or anything, but do you feel like turkey hunters today, young turkey hunters today, are better turkey hunters than you might have been at the same age?
150%, 200%. There goes back to the jealous comment. Man, some of these kids, and I've bumped into some of them. I mean, it's so funny because, like, when we used to travel, when I first started traveling, it was back, I think, in 95. Our goal anywhere we ever went, and I almost said this to Cameron earlier, and I'll double back on it in a second. Our goal anytime we ever went anywhere was, let's say three of us went to South Dakota. the goal was to kill three turkeys. Each person get a turkey and is a success, a monumental successfully trip.
Yep.
Let's say we went to a state like Missouri where we could kill, you know, first week you could kill one, start of the second week you could kill your second turkey, or if you went the second week, you could kill them two consecutive, you know, day to separate days. Let's say the three of us went to Missouri and we could kill six turkeys. If the three of us each killed a turkey, the trip was a success. If we killed a fourth, fifth, or sixth turkey, that was just icing on the cake.
Mm-hmm.
These kids now that are traveling, it's never like, man, we're going to go somewhere and we hope we get on a turkey. They're pissed off if they don't take a week off and go kill in five or six new states, which means you're killing a turkey in a new state in an unbelievably short amount of time, which, dude, it was just a few years ago that the thought of me going and killing a turkey in three or four states in 3 or 4 days, I never even thought about doing anything like that.
Yeah.
Now, when you're doing this trip, you're going to hit those spells if you ever get in that situation where that stuff can work out for you.
Yeah.
But I would never bank on it. I would never bet on it. I would never say I'm taking 7 days off work and I'm going to kill a turkey in seven states.
Right.
This just the margin of error is too wide. But these guys, this day and age, man, you think tonight, let's say you said, you know what? You've never done this. God dang it, I'm going to be a turkey hunter. Let me tell you what you do, boss. Go in there and get you a nice, comfortable spot on your sofa. Okay? Andy, I know you're a Zima guy. Cameron, I know how you like the Trulies. grab you a cold one. Cameron, no vaping in the house, boss. Sorry. So pop on YouTube. There's a few channels you can go to do on there. I don't know how many people are doing it now. I think it's mandatory. If you buy a turkey license now, you got to have a YouTube channel.
Yeah.
But on the flip side of that, there's a few boys on there that do put some stuff on there that it's legit.
Oh, yeah.
And if you watch it and you pay attention and you take notes and you're intuitive and you're analytical, it's laid right out in front of you. You can cut. We talked about this earlier. You can shave years of having to go out here and get your ass kicked on a daily basis. I see people, just like you guys said, you'll see somebody in an airport or traveling or somewhere, and they're going to come up to you and tell you a bunch of crap you don't give two craps about. And how many of these people are saying they went to so-and-so and didn't kill a turkey? Or, I mean, you never hear that. They're just killing them everywhere they go. And it's like, it bothers me because there was such a learning curve for me growing up. We had to go through these agonizing years of just getting your beat. And I still get mine beat. And I'm not too proud to say it. You know, but it's, I don't know. I mean, it's just like it seems easier these days because the information is everywhere you look. Somebody's telling you something that, let's put it this way. I don't know if I mentioned this to you or not, but it's really quick. You, right after Dave started dropping the Pinhead episodes the first year, a friend of mine called me, and I value his opinion when it comes to what we're talking about. We don't talk, you know, all that frequently, but he's really, really good in the woods, and if he ever had anything to tell me, I'd listen to it and vice versa. And I said, well, what do you think? And he got real quiet on the other end. He said, well, he said, it's different. And I said, yeah. He said, but I'm going to be honest with you. And I said, what's that? He said, you're giving away a bunch of stuff that's taken a long time for a lot of people to learn.
Yep.
No rebuttal. Zero rebuttal. 110% spot on. So I have a problem with that because it's like the old school people, that old school mentality are quote unquote grandfathered in. I'm one of those guys that I feel like you, if I had to earn it, you need to earn it. But let's face it, that's not realistic in today's world, and it's just out there on a silver platter. And yeah, to answer your question 20 minutes later, yeah, they're way better than, and I'm jealous that a kid 24 years old, even Cameron, 28, now granted, when I was 28, I'd been doing it for a while, but I guarantee you I don't know near as much as he knows now when you're 28 than when I did. You've got to be light years ahead of me at 28 than where I was.
Yeah.
My friend Tanner, who I've hunted all over with, how old was Tanner when he killed the slam? 30?
Yeah,
he 29, was 30. 30?
Yeah.
When I was 30, I'd killed some turkeys, but I never killed a turkey in 49 states and knew all the, you know, intricacies of the game that he does. And I remember watching Tanner, you know, 10 years before he completed his Super Slam, sat down on a turkey one morning here in Alabama. And I thought to myself, oh my God, we have got so far to go. Like just how he sat down at the tree, right?
Yeah.
And then 10 years later, he's freaking standing on a volcano with a freaking 49th state Super Slam.
Mm-hmm.
Shoot, man, I'd give anything to know what these kids do. But however, I just pray, like Cameron said, with the pressure in Tennessee, selfishly, I pray this candle burns out, the flame burns out. I don't know if it ever will, but I pray that this fad fades off in the sunset and these people get burned down on it. But at the rate it's going, I don't even know if that's a remote possibility.
Yeah.
But one other thing, Cameron made a comment about traveling last spring or turkey hunting, you know, as a whole to the east of the Mississippi was great. To the west, he said, if I'm not mistaken, was about the same. And then he said, well, I went to one spot and it was kind of hard. We still killed our turkeys, but it was hard. Cameron, it needs to be hard every once in a while. It needs be complicated. No, I know you know fired. That.
When I squeezed the trigger on that turkey, there was probably the pinnacle of my season. And Andy, I think Andy was about as more excited than I was, you know, but, and that's because of the adversity.
That's what I'm saying. And we're losing that part of it, I'm afraid. Like if it's not hard and it's not challenging and you don't get your ass kicked from time to time or more frequently than not, to me, that's what was always so appealing about turkey hunting, was it was far more complicated, in my opinion, as a whole, than sitting in a tree stand with a 30-06 and shooting a deer that's eating clover at 200 yards. Now, I'm not talking about a state record deer. I'm just talking about the deer that I want to think 95% of the people in my part of the country kill. And that is, if it's brown, it's down, right?
Yep.
I saw a beer koozie one time. You can't grill it till you kill it. It's like, amen. All right, dude, rock on.
Amen. I live by that rule.
But in all seriousness, man, I mean, don't you think the kids today are just way head and shoulders above what they were when you and I were doing it?
So much better.
Well,
it's so much better. But, you know, it also, you and I are about to hit the same point, Cameron. Go. I'm going to tell you what it is. Go.
Well, we can shoot further. We've got so many technological advances.
Yep.
When y'all probably started traveling, you had a paper map, I'm assuming, for who knows what WMA in whatever state. I mean, the first year even that I traveled, and I'm only 28, when Andy and I went to the first ever state I traveled out of state with him to, we had a paper map and I had called the biologist and that's how we scouted it.
Yeah.
Well, now at the tip of your finger, you've got every WMA and National Forest block in the entire state to look at and mull over for 9 months of the year.
Satellite maps of it.
Satellite maps with topo overlays. That, I think, to me, has been the biggest game changer in the whole travel turkey, travel hunting deal, because I can find turkeys in that habitat from home pretty much, whereas with a paper map or whatever, like, you couldn't tell. That might have been cut over 3 years ago, and it's not showing up anywhere, you know? And, like, there's also, I don't know what the deal is with this, and I'm as guilty of it as anybody, at least early on. People just freely send the coordinates. I mean, like, people you don't even know. It'd be one thing if Andy helped me out. You know, we're pretty tight. But some guy I've met on Facebook who, you know, asked me one question 10 years ago, and then he's just sending me coordinates to a turkey and for some reason. You know, like, why? And when
people
want to
be
a
part of something.
Yeah, I guess that's it. But, like, I guess when I first started
People know your name. You've got a podcast. You're on other people's podcast. You've got some kind of a presence in the game, even though you're young and whatever. And if anyone knows that, they want to, especially, you know, what you had referenced as like a neophyte, you know, somebody new, greenhorn, whatever, anything they can do to propel themselves and put them in position to make them feel part of the team. And I'm not derailing it. I don't mean to interrupt you, but and I know we've been on the phone for a while and y'all are probably ready to go or whatever. And you can just take this next comment and chew on it for another day or whatever, because once again, a really good friend of mine that I turkey hunt with quite a bit brought this up to me this year, and it will never, ever, ever, ever happen. But I would have no problem with it if it did, even though I'm just as guilty of using this as the both of you and every other man that will purchase a turkey hunting license next spring or purchased one this year. Can you imagine how the game would be now if we did not have Onyx, stuff like that? Can you imagine if we could remove that and we took away the ability to do what is, in my opinion, creating just as much conflict for the turkeys and the turkey hunters now as any extended season or bag limit or anything else? I mean, let's face it, dude, the satellite stuff, the apps, I don't know all the other ones. I know there's other apps outside of Onyx. Most of the people I know, that's the brand they use. And I use it too. I'm just as guilty as anyone else. I'm, you know,
I mean,
I'm not.
If you didn't, you'd be at such a massive disadvantage. I mean, you these days you almost have to.
Can you imagine not having the ability to send somebody all this information and people actually had to go out there? And, dude, when I first started traveling, I wasn't calling Cameron or Andy and going, Andy, boss, I'm headed to the Black Hills. Where do I need to go? Well, let me tell you something. You go down the end of this road, and there's a Budweiser can. All right, park your car right there. You never got that because it used to be, once again, kind of like we talked about a couple of years ago, it used to be like a secret society. Like you only shared that with the people that you let in, and they were always such, that was always such a small number.
Mm-hmm.
And now you might as well go to the Atlanta airport and have each state listed on the back of your shirt with a bunch of coordinates.
It honestly, like, it has made me wonder, and there's no way to ever tell this, but, like, on these vast tracts of public land and stuff, I wonder how many flocks of turkeys were undiscovered almost or hardly hunted compared to now. I feel like if a flock of turkeys is found by one man who does like we're saying and shares that, and then it gets shared again and gets shared, like, all of a sudden that flock of turkeys is getting hunted, like,
all year
by everybody. And you can just see it over and over again, how that could slowly whittle it down on the...
There you go. We talk about the people killing the hens. We talk about the people killing the jakes and this, that, or whatever. How many extra turkeys or what percentage increase in harvest from coast to coast occur each spring just due to the fact of Onyx alone? I'll guarantee you, just even at home on turf that I know, or places I'm hunting that no one has ever hunted, I will kill more turkeys per season since I started using Onyx. I'm not talking about sharing. I'm talking about it can get me places that I need to get a lot quicker than if I was just having to study the land itself. Now, I'm not saying we need to go back to the Daniel Boone time and compass and paper and all that, but I'm like, if it can help me kill a couple extra turkeys this spring just by getting from point A to point B quicker, how many are we killing because of the, like you said, somebody doesn't even know you, finds out you're going to go, they say, hey, have you hunted? And you went, no, I haven't. Well, next thing you know, 10 pins land on your text message, you know?
Yeah. That happens quite often. And to be completely honest, where I've gotten to with it early on in travels, I was happy as could be to get that and had no problem with it, you know, but it morphed into a time of like, I kind of want to go find my own, you know, and do it. And nowadays I don't really do that hardly at all with it. I mean, I don't take anything from randoms anymore. I mean, it'd be one thing if Andy's like, hey, you might want to check out this spot. Yeah, sure. He's one of my best friends. We're in the tight, he's in the circle, you know, I'll take that. But there's something to be said about setting out from your house, going to lands unknown, stepping in there and killing a gobbler, and you found him and did it all A to Z. There's not much can top that in my mind.
Well, and the problem, too, where we have such great conflict is time and U.S. salmon and all that together, if you can take a week off work and you're going to go try to put four states under your belt, you got to maximize your odds. And if you know Ricky and Bobby and Bobby and Bobby killed a turkey here the past 3 years in any state, well, you're going to say, man, they're batting 1,000 in there the past three springs. If I need to kill a turkey in so-and-so state in half a day, that's where I'm going to go. Look, we're all guilty of it. I didn't kill a U.S. slam without some help. Everybody has got some help along the ways. Did I have people drop me in on spots and I went in there and found turkeys? I'd be lying to you and anyone else if I told you that never happened.
Yep.
100%. Yeah. I've done it just like the next guy. But the bottom line is, it goes back to Andy's question about these kids being so good. Heck yeah, they're good, man. They got every dang tool under the sun to go do this now.
Yeah.
I mean, it is laid out. All you need to do is make sure your alarm goes off and you have the ability to stand up and put your clothes on and you can shoot a gun and you can go out and figure this out. It's not near as complicated as I probably made it out for so many years of my life. I mean, it's hell, now everybody's a good turkey hunter. I mean, good.
Yeah.
And it's and listen to the calling. I mean, everybody's, they're better callers now. They're
way better callers.
It's like that each state, when you go get your license, that, you remember years ago, you go to a state and you get a license, they may give you like a little pamphlet for that year's season. And a lot of the times in it, it would show like the difference in a gobbler and a hen and the feathers and the tail fans and all back to the old stuff that I really miss. It's like they had a page in there too of a picture of a turkey hunter and said, this is what you have to wear. You have to wear this kind of camouflage. You make sure you have the leg gaiters on and you got to wear you have to follow a freaking mold because everybody you see now looks the same. It's just like, I know there's not a lot of discrepancy anyway. We're wearing camouflage. We're trying to look like a tree, whatever, but it's like, you guys know where I'm going with this. Everybody kind of follows the leader, so to speak.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Yeah. Maybe the next big thing in turkey hunting is someone actually killing a super slam with nothing but paper maps.
That would be an impressive feat.
Not calling a biologist, not looking at the maps online, not looking at the state results for each county or each wildlife management area or national forest online. Just somebody just doing it the good old fashioned way, you know, paper map, shotgun that shoots 40 yards and some dang elbow grease and shoe leather.
But let me ask you this. Let's say a kid's 25 years old. I don't know what age most people start doing this now. Let's be generous. Let's say he started going out when he was 10, right? I don't know. Okay. That's a whole 10, 12, whatever. So theoretically, let's say he's probably been hunting them decent for, got to think he's in high school, so he's going to be limited to when he can go till he gets out of high school. So let's just say 8 years, 8, 9 years been turkey hunting. Even with today's crutches, aids, everything else, if a kid turkey hunts 8 to 10 years, even with YouTube and everything else, can he? You still got to go do it. You still got to take everything you learn and put it into action. Okay. Mm-hmm. You can study the playbook till you're blue in the face, but you actually have to go out and practice and practice and practice and practice and practice the drills and the plays over and over again to get the timing down. And then you have to execute it in a high pressure situation, right?
Yeah.
Same thing with turkey hunting. You can watch people do it and you can read about it, but you have to go out and learn how everything kind of falls into place. The videos and everything that's out there, they are going to get you to step two a lot quicker or more ready for step two than they would previously because you had to spend so much time gathering the info that's now available at your fingertips. The point of the matter is, in 8 to 10 years, can you still do it enough to where you would be considered unbelievably proficient at the game? Do you think so at such a young age?
Using the tools that are there?
Sure, absolutely. Everything you have today. Think so?
Yes.
I tend to agree with you.
Yeah, I would think 10 years would be a long time to learn with the information. I mean, if you were a student enough to actually research.
10 years with today's social media.
But the one thing I'm putting into play here is the age, because most kids that young are. I know a lot of kids don't. You don't have to go to college. You know, we were very fortunate; we had that opportunity. But let's say they go to high school and they do go to college or whatever. You don't have the schedules in that point of your life, the freedom to turkey hunt. What I would say, like every day.
Right. Yeah.
Maybe they do true. Now. I don't know.
That's true. So if someone,
even with the information you have, you still have to go a lot. But I do agree with you. 10 years is a long time to hunt turkeys.
Well, so, 10 years today is equivalent to 20 to 25 30. back when I was learning how to turkey hunt.
Yeah.
But you make a good.
I agree with that.
You make a really good point.
You do. He does.
I loved turkey hunting in high school, middle school, college. I mean, since I was, I think, 12 or 13. But I would not say I became a really, not that I'm a good turkey hunter now, but my success percentages and stuff went up significantly once I was out of school and had arranged my life to where I could at least go hunt turkeys every morning for an hour to 2 hours of the spring turkey season, depending on early to late season. And when I started hunting them daily, that is when the largest leap in success would have occurred for me. So you make a point.
That's the dream come true right there, when you get to go every morning, even if it's for 30 minutes to an hour.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that's it. Yeah, just being there.
Yeah. Without a doubt. And that's like, I don't know any kids that young that, you know, have done that. But when my friend texted me that there's some kid like early 20s just completed a U.S. Super Slam, I was thinking, I can remember Tanner doing it at 30 and thinking, that's getting it. Mm-hmm. And because he didn't make his mind up, he was going to do it till, like, I think when 14 rolled around, he killed turkeys in like 3, maybe 4 states. And then he really started catching some momentum in 15 with it. And you got to think that was 6 years it took him to do the thing. And that's, in my opinion, that's, you kill turkeys in just 45 states in 6 years. That's, you're pretty busy, that's in
solid.
My opinion.
Yeah.
Right. And now these guys are doing it in 2 to 3 years or whatever. And I don't know. I guess, like, it goes back to the jealous comment. There has to be a huge financial backing involved in something like that, because, God almighty, man, what do you think it would cost us right now if we said, okay, we're going to quit our jobs and we're going to leave the women at home, and the three of us are going to go out and we're going to hunt from whatever you want to do, May the 1st to June the 6th or 7th. We're going to go for 4 straight weeks and hunt as many states as we can. I don't care if you're living in a van, sleeping in the woods, getting a cabin from time to time. I don't care. It is expensive. That's fuel, licenses, everything else. You do it for 4 straight weeks and that's all you're doing. It adds up, you know?
Well, and total cost would be my life if I announced to my wife that I was leaving her for that long with the 1-year-old at home. So.
Oh, without a doubt. Absolutely.
So you're assuming I make it out of the home alive.
I'm assuming we actually hit the interstate and, all that's in the rearview mirror, you know?
Yeah, so half my net worth in the divorce settlement, and then the expense of the trip would be astronomical for 4 weeks. Yeah. I mean, just license costs. I mean,
I didn't have that kind of coin when I was 22, 23 years old. Now, I'm, like I said, you know, pretty dumb. So these kids now, they may have already have life figured out at 22 and 23. But, man,
put it in Bitcoin, man.
I was drinking beer and just trying to find a way to the beach, you know. But anyway,
yeah,
it's a trip, man. It's a trip.
Yeah.
Interesting world for sure. But it will be interesting to see, like you said, if it dies off in any way. I'm not real hopeful that that's going to happen, but. Maybe it will cycle. I don't know. There's still some people out there that claim we're losing, you know, hunting as a whole, and we need to get more hunters. But I don't know what statistics or what woods they're tromping in, but I need to go there.
I brought that up to another guy that I turkey hunt with some this past spring. I said, man, I said, you know, that was one of those mornings I'd come home and had some cats come in on me and all that kind of crap, you know. And I was a little hot anyway. And I said, man, this whole talk of we need more people buying licenses, as in we need hunter recruitment and all that stuff. I said, listen, I don't know what's going on in the deer woods, elk woods, duck woods, and whatever else people are hunting. I said, but as far as from a turkey hunting standpoint, we're good. We don't need any more people buying hunting licenses to hunt turkeys. And his comment, which was real unique, was he disagreed with me. And he said, well, I mean, if somebody comes and gets your spot, that gives you, means you got to go find a new spot. And that's kind of the fun part of the game. Well, man, I don't know what you smoked this morning, but don't bring it over here, because no, that's not fun to me. Yes, I'm selfish. Yes, I want my own spots to turkey hunt. Who does not? But don't give me this crap that we need more people buying turkey, you know, out here turkey hunting. There's got to be more people turkey hunting now than ever. And that's just a guess, man. Now, I could be so off track with that, but it sure does appear that there are more people doing it now than there were just a few years ago. I think maybe Andy used 5 years or 4 years, 5 years. Do y'all agree? Are there not more people doing it now?
100%.
Absolutely. 100%.
Do you guys want more people doing it, or am I putting you on the spot?
Coast. I mean, not just the Southeast has always had a lot of hunters and a good chunk of turkey hunters, but you have a lot of Western people getting into it, a lot of Northeastern people getting into it, you know, excluding Pennsylvania, which has always had a lot of hunters, but it's got to be record levels. Has to be.
Kenny, let me ask you another question as an old man. One old man to another. Think back.
I was really expecting some good questions for you guys tonight. I'm kind of disappointed. I was like, man, hopefully they're really going to put me on the spot with some stuff, but maybe this is it.
I don't know. I think you have an answer for everything. We don't know if any of them are right, but you have an answer.
Nothing I tell you is right. Just go ahead and delete this thing when we're done, but keep rolling.
So my question is this. Think back pre-2000. How many people did you talk to over the course of a year when they found out you like to hunt? Just you like to hunt. They ask you a question, something along the lines of, oh, really? What do you like to hunt? Well, I love to turkey hunt. Man, really? You turkey hunt? Well, you know, I deer hunt a little bit, do some dove hunting, and you know, I thought about going turkey hunting, but I don't know anything about it. So I don't know how to call them or anything. So I've never been. And then compare that with how many people do you hear today say, I don't know anything about turkey hunting, calling them or anything like that. So, you know, all those resources that we were talking about, everybody knows they're there. If you hunt, you want to learn how to hunt something. I've never hunted elk. It's on my bucket list. I want to go hunt elk. I bet I can become pretty proficient at hunting elk by watching YouTube for, 6 months, 12 months, just leisurely watching it.
Yeah.
But, you know, years ago, I wouldn't have been able to do that. But, I mean, just that in and of itself, I don't have people say to me anymore, I don't turkey hunt because I don't know how to call them. I don't turkey hunt because I don't know what to do. I have people say I don't turkey hunt because I'm scared of snakes. And I tell them, every single one of them, oh, my God.
They're terrible. You wouldn't believe
everywhere.
How bad they are.
Yeah. I mean, I'm out there in a dang armored suit. You look like a knight out there, you know, in shining armor. Just keep the snakes off of me. They're that bad. But I mean, I don't know about you, but I just don't hear it anymore. So there got to be more turkey hunters now than there ever has been. If there's not, then I would have hated to have even stepped foot on the piece of public ground that all the hunters were hunting on, all the turkey hunters were turkey hunting on 25 years ago, because they weren't on any of the pieces of public ground I was on at that time. But they must have been all piled up on one piece of public ground I just never happened to step foot on, and they just have dispersed over the years, I guess. I mean, that's the only thing I can think of.
Not only more individual people going turkey hunting, those people aren't just hunting their home state. So you used to have, you know, maybe the resident population of turkey hunters has only increased 5-10%. I don't know, but then toss in that, I don't know, I would imagine, I bet twice as many people hunt two or more states now than they did 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
At least. So you yeah, add that
I wouldn't
in.
Take my little girl yesterday to buy fireworks, right? We get walking in this little fireworks stand, all right? And we get walking in there, I grab a little cart, and this guy, he's just standing over there pointing at me laughing. And I'm thinking, who in the hell is this idiot, you know? And he comes over and he goes, man, love to watch that turkey hunting. I go, oh, God. I'm like, all right. He goes, man, I done been out west. I done got me some of them western turkeys. I'm going to try to get me one in Florida next year. And that's totally fine or whatever. But the point of that is, back to Andy's point, back in the late 90s, whenever, I could go all year and nobody would ever, I'm not talking about this is, there's no comparison here with the YouTube thing and whatever, but I'm talking about if anyone heard you turkey hunting, because back then so few people did it, but that's all I ever did. You know, even in high school, I had an NW, back then it was National Wild Turkey Federation, the old gold sticker with the turkey on it on the back of my truck.
Yeah.
Like, I thought that was cool because I wanted people to know when I was a teenager, not like, you know, wearing it on my sleeve all the time, but I knew the old turkey hunters in my area. A lot of them would have like a little turkey sticker in the corner of their window. And I had that on my truck because I was trying to emulate those guys. I wanted to be like those old school turkey hunters. But nobody gave a damn. Even the guys that knew you turkey hunted, they didn't talk to you about turkey hunting. You would go all year and not talk about turkey hunting. I've talked to you guys more tonight than I would talk to somebody in a year back then about hunting them. You know?
Yeah.
The point is, nobody cared, period, about it. I mean, if it wasn't deer hunting, who cared? And now, like to Andy's point, hell, I mean, almost anybody you bump into, the first thing they're going to say is, man, have you ever done a U.S. slam? I'm trying to get one of those. I mean, it could be a guy at the gas station selling oil filters. I mean, pretty good chance he's chasing a U.S. slam.
Yep.
You know, then listen, I'm going to tell you guys a really minute story that you'll have to delete or whatever, but you got to hear it. Back to Andy's point about the snakes, you know, how bad they are. So I forgot where we were, turkey hunting somewhere, getting on a plane to come home. Listen, I'm cool with anybody's lifestyle. I don't care. As long as you stay on your side of the street and let me stay on mine, do whatever you want as long as you don't put it in everybody's faces, right? So this cat's sitting across the aisle on the plane and uber lighting his loafers, just on fire. You know what I mean? And that's fine. That's totally fine. But let's just keep it on that side and we'll keep it on ours. Well, we sit down and he's just got to say something. And he's like, so what have you guys been doing? And I'm just like, oh, man, you know, like, where are we going to go with this? Well, so my buddy poked his head over, and he thought this would end the conversation really quick. And he's country's all get out. And he said, we just been turkey hunting. And he just kind of snapped his head back, and he looked at us, and he goes, oh, God, aren't those things vicious? And I just kind of looked over at him and I said, dude, you have no idea how vicious they really are. And I just thought to myself, I mean, like, you know, hey, I get it. He probably didn't grow up in the Southeast or whatever, but he had thought that turkeys were just vicious. And he just couldn't get over the fact that we were hunting something so vicious. And I said, yes, sir. I said, you just don't know how vicious they really are.
That's right.
You don't never know what you're going to hear, you know, when you tell somebody you're turkey hunting. So,
yeah, that kind of makes me think of back in the day when Bud Light commercials were actually good. And they had that series, little advertising series called Real American Heroes. That's you guys out there hunting those vicious wild turkeys.
Dude, I haven't thought of that in a long time. Remember that? Real American Heroes.
Yeah.
God almighty, man. Yeah. Do they still do beer commercials on TV? I don't ever watch TV, so I don't know.
I don't know.
Remember years ago they did cigarette things, and I think they banned the cigarette commercials. Wasn't that the case?
Yeah. Well, I know that you still see Corona commercials, especially around Christmas time.
Yeah, that's right. They're on the beach and they got the little Christmas thing by the beer bottle or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's amazing how of course we could have a whole podcast on how things are just so different now. It's unreal.
I think
different. Yeah, I'm just like in life. Like, I mean, it is just.
Yeah.
It is just, it blows my, and you know, you don't want to be that old grouchy guy, old school or whatever, that, oh, well, back when I was a kid, I walked uphill to school both ways, but.
I think you just were.
I don't know.
I was.
It's, I can't imagine being as young as Cameron. Man, you got life whipped. 28, you know, probably what, you about done with the slam?
I've got 12 to go.
Oh, yeah, nice. You're over the hump. So, I mean, yeah, you'll have this thing done before you're 30 and. You know, it's, I don't know. Then you're going to be miserable. I mean, no, I kid, but I don't know. I just can't imagine being 28 and knowing what you probably know about turkey hunting and being, well, you know, that far ahead of the game and all that. It would be, it'd just be so different to see it that way.
And the way it's going with pressure increases and the way that states are moving towards more quotas, non-resident limits, I'm glad I'm almost done, to be honest, because this thing is not going to be any easier in the future just from a standpoint of access.
Yeah.
I mean, you got Nebraska limiting how many non-residents are allowed in now. I mean, who would have thought that 3 years ago?
Yeah.
Man, I had a friend tell me, we were up in hunting a few weeks ago, and he's obviously chasing it too. He hadn't finished. If you haven't finished it, you're chasing it.
he's
on his way. I think he's killed turkeys in, like, you know, 35 states or something like that. And we were talking about some of the ones he's got left, and he mentioned this one state, and he said, yeah, this one here is just going to be a backbreaker. And I'm like, why? And he started explaining, you know, how complicated it is to hunt it or whatever. And it wasn't easy when I did it, but it wasn't even comparable to the things he was telling me. And I'm like, you mean to tell me, and granted that was 7 or 8 years ago I was there, but I'm like, you mean to tell me that that's how hard it is to try to go hunting over there? And he said, yeah. He said, that's how this thing's changing the game. And I got to thinking, if I wanted to go back and do it all over again, I'd totally have to come up with a new plan. I could not attack it the way I did it and expect the same results, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's it. And this has happened in what, 4 or 5 years, the amount of changes that we've seen. I mean, if the trajectory continues, can you imagine in 10 years from now, how hard it's going to be just solely from access standpoints? I mean, it's not getting any easier. I mean, I can't hunt the WMA closest to home now, but every 3 years, much less go to other states.
Yeah, and you take the irony too of that thing. I think you had a podcast, and I know you and I talked about, or the three of us talked about it. You take that run, like, that, I guess, was it COVID year? That, like, I think it was the hunting public, like, they were pushing going to hunt, like, Georgia and Tennessee and all that. I don't know if they'd hunted there 20 or 21, but it was somewhere in that time frame.
Yeah, that's right.
And they're on there, and they're, you know, they're talking about, and I have no problem with any of those boys personally or whatever. I really don't know them or anything. I've met a couple of them, but you know, the irony of saying, hey, this is where you need to go hunting. And then all of a sudden everybody runs toward the gate. And then the following year, they take all the hunting away.
Yeah, hey, and don't, it's stop just like, coming here.
Something's wrong with that whole image. And it's like, if those things keep going, then I don't know, man. I mean, I don't know. I'm with you, man. I feel your pain and everyone else's pain. It's if you really want to stress out and let your anxiety get up, really start looking into the future, because God knows what it holds for this.
Yeah, that's true. It is a little bit comforting, I guess, to know that I am closing in, and hopefully we'll accomplish it in the next 2 springs or so, because I just think it is going to become such a planning, and, you know, oh, it's going to take me so-and-so years to draw X so that I can go get my turkey there, and it's going to be a lot more to it, I think.
Yep. You know, something I got to thinking about here recently, and this is a really kind of a strange thing to say, because we all turkey hunt so differently. I guarantee you the three of us could go to one turkey together, and we would probably think of 3 different ways to try to kill that turkey.
Yes.
So, yeah.
But with all that said, there's so many different variables involved with these people killing U.S. super slams or attempting to kill them. And we all want to think like our way is the, you know, the better way, like the way,
right
you,
way
you,
the best way. Yeah.
Yeah. Like when you, Andy, did you finish yours? I know you're close.
I have not finished it, but I'm close.
Ought to be knocking on the back door after the last time I talked to y'all.
Yeah.
But like, you know, when you get it done, you're probably going to think, well, man, this, I did it the best way. Or Kenny, you know, Kenny's thinking he did it the best way. Or Cameron, when you finish it, you're thinking this is the best way. But what's so complicated about it is there's some ways you can do it that can really, really, I guess you could say, expedite it. Even outside of hunting 20 states a spring, anytime you go turkey hunting, you could expedite your chances of killing a turkey. And then there's the total opposite of that, to where you go maybe with, you're doing it all on your own, you're not hunting with decoys, or you're hunting with, like, you know, paper airplane or something, trying to kill them with a slingshot or God knows what. This, it, and we're never, I guess I really don't have a point other than with everybody doing it now, now we're going to start dissecting how everybody does it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think that's already started.
It might have. I don't know if it has or hasn't, but it's not the fact that, oh, well, God, you know, well, so-and-so did a U.S. Super Slam by the time he was 13. It's going to be like, well, you know what? I think he used a decoy in 5 states.
Right.
Or he used an outfitter on 42 of the 49 hunts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And well, we all
and
do
the 15-year-old did it with a 410. So, I mean, who's...
Yeah, I had a dude, gosh, this has been four or five years ago, who messaged me after one of my trips when I was sharing the story, and we used an outfitter on this trip, and the outfitter called a turkey in for me, and he messaged me and said that I'm supposed to be the turkey hunter, because I host the Turkey Hunter podcast. I'm supposed to be a killer, and he just could not believe I let somebody call in a turkey for me. Mm. So, you know, look, I let two guys call in a turkey for me in a state this year. And when somebody comes along and they start calling, and I kind of listen to that, and I think I could practice for 3 years and not be that good. And they want to call a turkey in for me. That's a compliment. I'll take it. I take my call, put it in my vest, call away, you know. Mm. And Cameron is one of those two guys that called. He actually called in more than one bird for me this year. But why does it matter? Why do you care how I killed my super slam?
What would the score have been that day me and you hunted and I called one in for you and you called one in for me? I mean, does that mean neither of us got that state?
No, you can't. Nope. You got to call in your own bird. You can't hunt with anybody else. I'm thinking, man, you live a miserable life. You can't go hunting with a buddy and a buddy wants to call a bird in for you and you're not going to let him do it?
Anyway, boys, I've enjoyed the heck out of it.
Yeah, man.
Me too.
Thank you for taking time again to talk with us and get this recorded for next spring.
Oh, we'd really have fun if it wasn't recorded. Excuse me, I've got a cold.
Mm. We've done that before, hey, too. Yeah, I was going to ask or recommend that you stop smoking cigars.
Yeah.
No, I hadn't had a cigar since the season. But, man, I have bad allergies. And I dealt with a bout of them this past May, and they have just been – they haven't fully disappeared. It's been a ride, man. I was up turkey hunting up in the end of June there, and God, I sounded like I was sucking down a carton of Marlboros a day.
Mm. You got to swap to the vape like I'm on. You'd feel a lot better.
I know. I got behind you at the red light. Yeah, I got behind you at the red light a few days ago, and I was like, man, that looks like, is that Cameron's Miata? And then all of a sudden, that cloud of smoke came rolling out the window, and I said, there he is, yeah. Oh, man. I like the personalized plate, though. That was pretty cool, U.S. Slammer. Pretty cool.
Yep, that had to be me.
Good stuff.
Dude, good absolutely. Stuff.
I enjoyed it, buddy. Thank you for your time. It's been a
anytime. I like talking to you boys. Y'all are good guys.
Thanks, Kenny.
Try to convince my wife of that, and I'll buy you lunch one day.
Appreciate it. Y'all have a good evening, man. Take care, and it's always too, a pleasure.
Yeah. Thank
you. Bye-bye.
Bye. And he doesn't miss, man.
No, that dude's just a trip. That's a lot. That's always a lot of fun.
Yeah. Cracks me up. I love it. Like, towards the end, we're just like, I loved when he was like, I don't want to be the guy that does this. And you're like, I think we just were.
Gosh. That's just hilarious. Yeah. Just hilarious. And pretty, you know, all around great guy.
Yeah, no doubt. Really, really enjoy talking with him always. Become almost an annual tradition before turkey season to have Kenny Mount on the show. So,
yeah,
we'll try to keep that going. He's always a good long conversation. You can bank on getting two episodes out of Kenny.
No doubt.
But yeah. I enjoyed it. And, man, I can't wait for y'all to hear next week's, too. The intro is something else. And then the guy we got coming on is, oh, man, y'all just wait.
I've got a little side story to tell about that when next week probably in the outro.
Yeah.
For next week's show. Just he used an expression I've never heard before, and it just still makes me laugh just thinking about it. So I'll share that one with you guys. He's a character. That's all we're going to say at this point. We teased it enough, and next week will be here before you know it. So
yeah. Yeah. We'll all be turkey hunting. So it'll be a glorious week. So look forward to it. We've got great shows coming up. We will be posting in Patreon more clips from all these shows, and we'll be asking our Patreon members for, you know, questions to ask our guests. So look forward to reading those off. I mean, that's pretty unique in my opinion. To not only do you get to listen to a podcast about turkey hunting every week, you get to ask questions of the guests if you want to. That's pretty neat. So we'll be doing that. And then I'm also going to post my first book of the month in there as well. I've got to do that. So hope you guys enjoyed that. You want to wrap it up?
Yeah, man. Let's do it. Thank you guys so much for tuning in this week. We know that you have choices. We appreciate you spending your time with us. We hope you have a wonderful week. And for those of you hunting already, a safe week as well. And we look forward to seeing you again next week. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thanks for tuning in. You were just listening to the Turkey Hunter Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please go on over to iTunes and leave a 5-star review. And make sure to head over to www.iamturkeyhunting.com to subscribe for free turkey hunting tips, tactics, strategies, and product reviews to help you have a more successful turkey season. And stay tuned for upcoming episodes on hunting afternoon birds, how to film your hunt, and the breeding cycle of hens, as well as some guest interviews. Thanks again for listening. We know your time is valuable, and we appreciate you sharing some of it with us. See you next week.